Good morning. For those who are paying attention, and I know Kathy and Linda aren't here this morning, I did make a copy of my talk, and it's on the back table like I was supposed to. It is handwritten, so there might have not been any translation made anyway, but it is back there. Since November 16 of 2011, I have been trying to be, I guess the word would be healthier, we'll just say it that way, to represent less earthly mass was really the plan. This started with a less than favorable health screen, a prescription to some blood pressure medicine, which I didn't think a 44-year-old guy ought to have. Prayer. Some very kind words of support from a friend. And a message hidden inside of a presentation at work that I really didn't want to attend or have to listen to. The thing at work was titled, I Am. So if there is a title with a talk that you're hearing this morning, it's titled, I Am. It talked about having the beginning of your belief, the beginning of your personal belief. Now, as a child, I went to church with my mom and dad. As a child, many of you went to church with your mom and dad, and thankfully you're still coming. We're glad you're here. I wouldn't call that belief. I would call that mom woke me up, now I'm going. It's called no choice, and we're attending. And that's the way it was at my house on Sunday morning. That's just the way it was. I got up and I went. At some point, you start to develop a personal belief system. Those things you believe in before you believe anything else. Things that you put first and then go forward with it. Because that's the way you start to think, and then you take over with your own thoughts and the things you've been taught around you. All of us need a nudge sometimes beyond those personal beliefs to get us going. Example I would use would be a pro basketball player, a pro baseball player. These are people who've made their living and been able to make a living by getting to a place where they hit, throw, pitch, catch, shoot, hit, tackle, receive, and throw. They made their living. They were able to get to this point to make their living by doing those things. The chances of them doing that and being able to make it to this level are so slim, but they still made it. But yet, after they strike out twice, after they throw three interceptions, after they're unable to make a throw from second base to first base, these people go into a slump. Now, if you were able to do these things up until today, but you just can't do them today, my thought is you'll probably be able to do them tomorrow. Everybody has that bad day. But you know, a personal belief system can take you beyond that. It can hold you strong when those bad things happen. And everybody has a bad day. About 5 years ago, decided I would go on a Thursday night and try to play basketball with the guys at the high school. I was not a bad basketball player, I don't think. And when I stepped out there after I tied up my shoes, I thought I should be able to still do the things I was doing when I was 20 years old. Well, as they dribbled past me and as they out-jumped me and in some cases just pulled me along with them, it was very evident that I wasn't able to do that anymore. Okay, my hands still knew what they were supposed to do, but my hands didn't do it. No longer. My legs knew they were supposed to run and jump. Never a big leaper anyway, but now I've got the 1-inch vertical going on. I'm pretty sure you can hardly slide paper under it when I get up in the air. All of you, all of me, all of us need a nudge. A Christian with a support system around him is one step ahead from the start. If you're a Christian, you already have some things in place that you know to believe in. So your development of your personal belief system isn't that big. You should be able to use that and build on it. starts with God. You have the Bible for reference, and then you have a Christian family around you. And this can be your real family. This can be your adopted family here at the church. People that know you and are learning to know you as you go along. Genesis 26 and 24, the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. Okay, even in the Bible, in places where they had evident proof of things happening, of God actually sticking his hands into it and making it happen in front of them, these people still needed a nudge. So while we have the Bible, so we have Christian support, you still need a nudge. And it's all right, because that's the way it should be. That's why you have people around you. Becoming a believer is not always a simple thing. As I said, I did not want to be at that presentation at work. I had to drive 2 hours to listen to somebody speak for 45 minutes. I knew they were going to be dry. I knew it was going to be more of that self-help garbage that I cannot stand. You can do it! Right? Come on. Didn't want to listen to it anymore. I just knew it. So I knew we were going to get there, and even though I was told to be there and be there on time and happy, I had to be there. It turned out when I walked in that there was a little bit of that. You could do it. But there was a good message hidden underneath it. Everything in belief starts the same. There has to be interest. I talked about, before I started coming here, I maybe went to church once every three months, once every 2 months. My job held up that I could work on Sundays, and I worked on Sundays because I needed it, first of all, for the money to live, and secondly, I just didn't care. Yeah, it didn't matter to me as much as I was here. Bug my mom, bug my dad, and they told me about it, but it didn't bug me enough to do anything about it. When I met Danielle, the only way I could see her an extra day was to come with her to church. I figured, why not? I'll go to church. You know, how bad can it be, right? I'll just go. It's only an hour, and then I get to see her, you know, and we're okay. Beyond that, okay, that was the development of interest. So I was interested in her. She made it clear that I had to be here if I was going to be with her. Okay. I don't mind. That's okay. I'll take that time. From me being here, then you start to believe in things. You start to believe in the things that are happening around you. You start to believe in what people are saying and the people that are talking to you. You know that some of the people that are talking to you may seem at the beginning to just be full of it, all the way up to the top of their head and beyond. But as you get to know those people, you get to figure out that maybe it's for real. You know, that positive support thing isn't everywhere in this world. And usually it's somebody pecking at you from the back that's trying to pull you down rather than somebody trying to give you a push. Not a bad thing. Political life in this world is heavy. We all have it. But yet you are able here to put that aside and be treated like family. To be treated as someone in your family. And we know how families treat each other, and it's not always great, is it? But you know what? That's okay. I love my sister. Doesn't mean I always understand my sister or I agree with my sister. But I love my sister. It's amazing to me that she's gone 53 years and been wrong as many times as she has. But yet, we get along. From starting to believe, you begin to believe. You believe that someone's going to be there. You believe that they're going to be there in that spot. You believe that they'll be there. And if you need to talk to them, they're there. Just having belief is not having faith. You can believe in a lot of things. You can believe that when you get up and step onto a wood floor in the middle of winter with no heat, that it's going to be cold. But to have faith takes you a step farther. Faith in something, to me, believes that beyond just being able to see and believe that it's there, you know in your heart, you know in your soul, that if it's needed, whether you can see it, whether you can taste it, you can touch it, that it's there. Faith is what takes you to a place where you can truly become a faithful believer. Faith is what pushes you along. Started with a thing at work that said, he gave me the definition of I am. Jeremiah 1:8. Do not be afraid. I am so sorry that I can't read that. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Saying I am, before anything else, makes it real. This is the start of this guy's talk, and you can do it. Okay? This is how he began. I am. Two very simple words. But through the Bible, it's spread. And whenever there needs to be emphasis on something, it says, I am. This gentleman speaking actually addressed the Bible in his talk. It was not specific. It was a broad spectrum of speech. But he addressed it. Which is when I started paying attention, quite frankly. Might have been when I got back from the restroom or got my third cup of coffee or whatever it was that I was trying to just suffer and get through this talk. But that's when I started paying attention. I am. Saying I am once again makes it real. The way we started was you had to say 5 negatives about yourself and write them down. I am sometimes annoyed with my kids. I am irritated by people around me that don't think like I do. I am sometimes pushed to a point where honestly I'd like to shake them by their head. I am not always the greatest person when I'm outside of here. I am overtaken by that anger, and sometimes my mouth runs before it should. All right? 5 minutes. So you have to put the negatives out first, which is not an easy thing. Because I am born with a little bit of ego, and I don't think I do that many things wrong. All right? You have to be self-truthful. It is a very, very tough place to be self-truthful. Now, I ended up with about 40 things on that list. I shared a couple of them with you. Okay, I am sometimes annoyed with my kids. But yesterday, got to watch them do 2 things I like. Excuse me. Didn't plan on that. Do the 2 things I like and watch them play basketball. Both of them that are here. And got to watch them have good days. Got to listen to them talk to me on the way home. And on the way here. I have a child that sings all the time. That fell into the annoying category that day. The blessing is I have a child that sings all the time. All the time. No matter where she is, no matter what she's doing, it's coming out. I have a son with a temper just like mine. And I know it. And when I see it come out of him, I know where he gets it. I know where he gets it. All right? I know where that comes from. That anger, that expression, sadly enough, is one of the things other than blue eyes that I passed on to my kid. I am able to understand why he feels that way. So when you start thinking about these negative things that are out there, and how really small they are, you're able to kind of take hold of what the things you need are and make it real and make it believable. Haggai 1:13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke to the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So what we do here is we start negative and we go positive. If you want to do this on your own, do this on your own. It was good for me. That doesn't mean it'll be good for you. But it was good for me. Take the time when you're writing these out to be self-truthful. And I mean be self-truthful. If you can't admit the things that you do wrong, honestly, to yourself, you are never going to figure it out. And the things that you want, and the place you want to be, wherever it is, outside of this church, in this church, and when you die, are never going to work. Because if you're still lying to yourself at the end of this day, it's you that's telling the lie. Nobody can fix that. You can be good on Sunday morning and be a scumbag when you walk out the door, and half the people in here would never know. None of us want that. You know, people do understand that you make mistakes out in the world. And thank the good Lord for forgiveness, because that's what pushes us along. But you need to be self-truthful. Know that there is support. It comes from the weirdest places. A lot of times it might happen, they won't even know they said it. Right? Won't even have a clue. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of an age. When you wake up, you have to do things and use it daily, or it goes away. I said a very good friend spoke to me about my weight. I was too fat. Pure and simple. I said before that I could make euphemisms about being too fat. I could say I was robust. I could say I was prosperous. I could say that somewhere in the world people are getting on this. Huh? Kind of like that. Somewhere in the world the big belly is king. It's not where I was staying. And I just wasn't happy with it. I'm not necessarily just talking about weight. The weight you're at and the weight you want to be at are your business and your business alone. It's not up for me to say where you should be, where you want to be, or anything else. But I knew that I was not happy where I was. But yet in my mind, I could make excuses all day about why I should have that second chip, that third piece of cake, the bigger bowl of ice cream, the large soda, whatever. I can make excuses about it. That friend pulled me over, said, you know, I want to tell you something. It's a lot harder to get rid of it as you get older than it is to keep it. So if you want to fix it, you really need to take advantage of it when you can. That stuck. So daily, when I get up, I am no treat. In fact, I'm probably a rather disgusting person for the first 15 minutes I'm up in this world, and I just want to be left alone and sit there. That's it. Doesn't matter if it's 10 in the morning, it doesn't matter if it's 6. I could care less. I need 15 minutes to sit, stare at the floor, and be left alone, because I am not a pleasure to be around. When I get up, first thing I do now, so I get on the scale and either go, ah, or I go, that'll work, and then walk on. And usually that first response comes from peanut butter M&Ms or, you know, whatever I ate on the car on the way out. The other one comes because I know I paid attention and I made it work. I use it to direct my day. I have this thing now that I plug in some stuff so that I can see where I'm at on the calorie thing, so that I know if I have to go up or down in order to lose weight. Because oddly enough, when this whole thing started, I wasn't eating enough. Hard to believe for us all. I wasn't eating enough. You have to believe it. You have to say it. You have to know that it's real. And the only way to get rid of something is either to put it away, push it away, or remove yourself from it. There's no other way. So, in the case of I know we call it losing weight. It's intentionally pushed away. There's nothing lost about it. I lose my keys. I could not lose weight. You have to know that it's real. So if it's working, it's working. You want to stick with something, you stay with it. You pray. When you need support, you pray. What a tough thing that is. To sit in your car, sit wherever you're alone, open your eyes, close your eyes, whatever it is you do, and pray. Talk to someone alone who is listening. Awesome. Right? That's one of the good things we got going in here, is that it doesn't matter where you are, what time of the day, how you feel, what you're thinking, how you're dressed, or anything else, you can pray. And the person on the other end that's listening doesn't care about any of those things I said at the front. Only cares what you're saying. I had an uncle. He used to just love to listen to the man pray. And you knew it was easy for him. And the way he prayed was great because he did a lot. Right? When he sat alone on his little bench in front of his house, and swung back and forth, he was praying. He was talking to God. So when he got a chance to pray in public, it was awesome. Awesome. And he used to just love listening to it before he passed. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Here, we can focus on Christ. And again, you have to use it daily. When you get up to direct your day, you have to believe it. You have to say it to know that it's real. Because if you're not, and you're thinking it, mind allows us to do a lot of things. Having high cholesterol, being whatever you want to say. Sick, high blood pressure. Those are things I didn't want, but yet I could make excuses as to why I had it. And again, that's me. That is no reflection upon it. Anyone else in here. Where you're at, what you feel, how you're happy you are in your personal lives has to be directed at you. The way you come into this church in the morning has to be directed at you. Okay, you will never be happy because your parent tells you to. You will never be a good Christian because your parent told you to. You will be a good Christian when you take responsibility. When you get up to start your day, when you believe it and say it, and when you pray, whenever you want. That's when you start to go forward. That's when you start to take a hold of what should be yours, what is offered every single day and every minute, is that ability to come to Christ and be part of Him. Because that's what you want in the end of things. Okay, He doesn't care. If you screw up once in a while, they gave us forgiveness. So the opportunity for you to just be perfect does not exist. A mistake is something that happens once. Doing it again is stupidity. So if you are being stupid because you repeatedly do the same thing and call it a mistake, I mean when I say you're being stupid. All right? That is an ignorant thing to do. If every morning you get up, take 4 steps, and pound your toe into the corner of the door, the next step would be putting your hand out so that you don't hit the door first. We always say that even a drowning man has to grab the life preserver, or they can't be saved. That's how this all is. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's a very straight statement, because he meant it, a statement because it's right. And there's still a long ways to go in the achieving of my personal goal. But you know, it's never too late here to begin your day in faith and in Christ and becoming a stronger portion of God. Because I am less of an earthly mass than when I started last year. Not a lot less, but less. I am blessed with a great family at home and here. I am stronger in my faith today than I was yesterday. I am a fault-ridden, mistake-making, sinful, sometimes stupid, angry father, husband, uncle, friend, and Christian every day. And I am blessed with all those things over and over and over each day. To be a Christian simply means you take ownership of what was given to you, and then you take it with you every day, studying and learning, becoming baptized and following Christ. It doesn't mean you will never make a sin. It doesn't mean you will ever do anything stupid again. It means that you have found a way to be forgiven and you have found a way to be offered eternal life. One of those things that I wrote down was I am afraid to die. Because what I have here is good. It's not good every day, but it's good. And very selfishly, I want to give away my son and my daughters in marriage. I want to grow old. I want to retire. I am very happy to say I don't want to work forever. But I am, again, knowing that if I become a stronger Christian each day, I am going to be in heaven. And I'm going to be able to take their hands with me when they get there. Because taking them on a tour of heaven would just be awesome. At the end of every service, we always offer a gospel invitation. And it's for you to become part of us, for the church to help those of you who need a little help that maybe you want to come forward and talk about. We'd be glad to help you. Please, if there's things that we can do for you, if you'd like to become part of God's family, please come forward as we stand and sing the last hymn.